Wednesday, November 25th, 2015. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. Hey, you know, maybe you weren't sure if there was going to be a podcast today, you know, day before Thanksgiving. You weren't quite sure, are they really going to put out a podcast? You know what? We release a new podcast every single Wednesday, and we talk sports, we provide some insight, we try to give you a common sense approach to the world of sports. You can download it, you can subscribe to it, you can go on iTunes or pretty much anywhere that podcasts are available to you. If you would like to contact me, if you would like to email the Daily Dose Sports Podcast Show, a couple different ways you can do that. You can email the show, dailydosesports@gmail.com. You can find me on Twitter at dailydosesports. That is D-A-L-Y, Daily Dose Sports. We also do have a Facebook page. If you would like to like the page over on Facebook, that is also Daily Dose Sports. If you'd like to head over to our website, we do put up a few new articles every single week. We do put up links to the podcast every single week. If you would like to head over there, listen to the podcast there and check out some of the articles that go up. You know, usually we put new articles up on Tuesdays and Thursdays. You can check those out. That website is dailydosesports.wordpress.com. I would encourage you to head over there. We've had some feedback and a number of people that do like the articles. This week, we've got a few things to talk about. We're going to give you our college basketball preview. Don't worry. It's not too heavy. It's not too deep. But we are going to give you a college basketball preview this week, at least give you an idea of what to expect in the upcoming season in college hoops. A few teams to look at. A few storylines to look at, a couple different things that we have for you, a couple players to watch. And I know it's not March. I know we don't care until March. We really don't care about college hoops until March. We have to fill out our office pool brackets, but we're just going to get you a little bit more prepared. Kind of a crash course in college hoops today. Be very, very quick and not too painful for you though. You're going to like it. We also do have some NFL talk. Got a number of things happening in the NFL that I do want to talk about today. And, you know, college football, latest poll came out. The latest playoff poll came out last night. Want to talk a little bit of college football today. And as we do every week, you do not want to miss our Daily Dose Top 5. Always a popular segment. Always something I get feedback on. People may agree. People may not agree. But you always want to check out the Daily Dose Top 5. Let me ask you this. Are you ready for Thanksgiving? Are you ready? It's tomorrow. It's coming quickly. You know, Thanksgiving to me is kind of an underrated holiday. It doesn't get like the publicity that like, you know, Christmas does. There's not all the hype and all the media coverage and all the stuff that is jammed down your throat like it is for Christmas. It doesn't have kind of that party feel, that cool kind of feel to it, like maybe a New Year's or like a, I don't know, Halloween, something like that. But think about how great Thanksgiving is. For one thing, there's no presents involved. I don't have to go shopping and buy some garbage that no one really needs. That isn't necessary. You don't have to go buy some silly costume or go to some obnoxiously loud club to count down, you know, when it hits New Year's or something like that. You don't have to drop, like $400 on fireworks or even hire an NFL player to shoot them off for you. Thanksgiving might be the most American holiday of them all. No presents, no theme, little bit of work involved, a little bit of ingenuity involved. But basically, what Thanksgiving is about is, hey, gorge yourself and watch some football. That's it. Like, that's the end. It's not like, well, and then we're going to put this in the room. No. Jam yourself as full of food as you possibly can. Like, and we go out of our way to make sure we're getting enough food. Because we're like, well, yeah, we got a full 15-pound turkey. No, but did you get the ham? Do we have the ham? Because if we don't have the ham, it doesn't really count. Do we have the potatoes? Do we have the dressing? Did we stuff some extra food inside of our food to make sure that we got more food involved? I mean, does it get more American than that? And then, you know, just when you think you've jammed as much food into yourself as you possibly can, we say, hey, we've got about 13 pies out here that we've got to eat too. I mean, that giant meals, appetizers, desserts, this is gluttony at its finest, and I love it. I love the only drawback, honestly, the only drawback that you could possibly have for Thanksgiving is that you might run into this situation. You could find yourself sitting at a table with people maybe you don't know quite as well. Because it's one thing if it's family. It's one thing if it's people that you're really, really close with. It's another thing if it's like your significant other's family or it's like you're at a friend's house or you're at, you know, something like that. It's a little bit different. But you get that one person that drops the, let's all go around the table and say something that we're thankful for. Oh, thanks. Now everyone gets to do a little public speaking. And if you're there with people you don't know, there's like some added pressure to like be a little bit clever. And you can always throw out the obligatory, I'm thankful, for all those years we got to have Thanksgiving without having to do this. I mean, that would be nice to say. You can't really say that. I never knew how good I had it until this year when you brought this up. But that might get you excommunicated from the table that you're sitting at, so you don't want to do that. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you a few things that I'm thankful for. Just in case tomorrow you are forced into this line where they say, hey, let's all go around the table. I'm going to give you a few things that I'm thankful for, and maybe it will kind of spark something for you. So here are some things that I, Clint Daly, am thankful for 2015 Thanksgiving. Of course, I'm thankful for my family, thankful for my friends, I'm thankful for my health. Let's get those ones out of the way. We know those ones. You know what else I'm thankful for? I'm thankful for those extra fries that fall down in the bottom of the bag when you go to, McDonald's or In-N-Out or something like that. Ooh, those are, I don't know why. Those ones taste just a little bit better. I don't know what it is, but they taste a little bit better. You know what else I'm thankful for? And it doesn't happen very often, but every once in a while I'll be scrolling through, TV, and I'll just be flipping through, and I'll hit like on the Cartoon Network or something, and I'll see some of those old Bugs Bunny cartoons. You know when Bugs would like smash someone over the head with an anvil? And there was no like parental warning about, do not try this at home. Because if you wanted to launch yourself out of a cannon in like a Batman suit, that's just thinning the dumbest in the herd. That's fine. Go ahead. Knock yourself out. We didn't have to put up those warnings because no one was really that stupid at that time. Now we have to, well, my kid actually tried to do that. Well, then your kid probably shouldn't be here. You know what else I'm thankful for? You know when you get to peel the plastic off of that brand new cell phone? Man, there's something. I don't know what it is. There is something satisfying about peeling off that plastic. It's just a piece of plastic. It's not any, but man, there's something just awesome about it. I don't know why. Another thing I'm thankful for, when you have that team that you hate, there are certain teams in this world that you hate. Let's be honest. You hate that team. Maybe it's the Seahawks. You hate that team. And when you saw them get their heart ripped out in the Super Bowl on the last play, there's something that just feels so good about that. Like you're calling your friends that are fans of that team. Oh, how you doing? You okay? I'm sorry. You're not sorry at all. Oh, I hope you're feeling okay. Oh, that looked like it hurt. Did it hurt? It seems like it hurt. Like, are you on a ledge right now? Because I bet that hurt. Oh, that just ripped. Like, that you thought you were going to win it, and then you didn't win it. And not only did you not win it, but, oh, man, that hurt. Don't you love that? I'm thankful for those moments. I'm thankful for those minutes that you get to feel those kind of things. You know what else I'm thankful for? I'm thankful for Tiger Woods. Because I'm going to be honest, I'm not a very good golfer. I'm not a golfer. That's just never been, anything that I did. But you know what? I kind of feel like right now I might be able to beat Tiger Woods. And I'm thankful for him being so horrible right now. I'm thankful for good 30 for 30s. Some of the 30 for 30s that they're putting out on ESPN, some of them are great. Some of them have really, really interesting, storylines. And we talked a little bit recently about the one they did on Colorado football. There's been the one about the 1983 NFL draft. That one was phenomenal. If you haven't seen the one, I think it's called The Two Escobars. At some point we might have to do like review some of the 30 for 30s and talk about some of the better ones that they've had. Cause some of those are really good. Like I have to watch them. Like, I don't know if you saw the recent one with Mike Tyson and the Evander Holyfield one. No, it was okay. It was okay. But some of those 30 for, I'm thankful for those. I love those things. College football Saturdays, when you literally can watch football from 10 a.m. until like 1 o'clock in the morning the next day. Oh, it doesn't get any better than that. I've had days where I haven't even gotten out of my chair. I'm just sitting there watching football for like 15, 16 straight hours over and over and over again. Oh, it's amazing. College football Saturdays are awesome. Super Bowl Sundays. Thankful for Super Bowl Sundays. Love Super Bowl Sundays. We have turned Super Bowl Sunday into just a holiday. It's like the biggest, one of the biggest party days of the year. Super Bowl Sundays. We don't do anything. It's similar to Thanksgiving. We watch football and we eat. Doesn't get any more American than that. I'm thankful for Kobe Bryant. Because again, he kind of makes me feel like I could probably draw iron more than he does right now. Yes, he's taken a step back in his career, but I'm thankful for Kobe Bryant, making me feel like I could go out and compete as well as he does right now. I'm thankful for the Stanley Cup playoffs, where it seems like every single shift is like this life or death situation. And I know hockey doesn't have a foothold in America, like some of the sports do, but if you just watch just the playoffs, I can't watch the whole year. I won't lie. I'm not sitting here watching these regular season games and, oh, here's game 26. I'm not doing that. But when it gets to the playoffs and every single shift matters, every single shift is life or, oh, I'm watching that. I'll watch some of that. That's some good stuff. I'm thankful for Peyton Manning. For Peyton Manning. Because I'll tell you why. Peyton Manning makes me feel, again, this is some self-gratification. It makes me feel like my arm right now is currently stronger than an all-time NFL great quarterback. Thankful for that. Thankful for the Golden State Warriors and Steph Curry for making it cool for kids to play good fundamental basketball. You know, spacing and passing and cutting and shooting. They have made that cool again. That was not cool just a few years ago. That was not cool probably 2 years ago. It was give it to the big guy and get out of his way and let him go to work. Give it to LeBron James, give it to Shaquille O'Neal, give it to somebody like that who is just better physically and more gifted than everyone else. Give it to them and let them take over the game. That's not what Golden State does. Golden State actually plays as a team. Golden State actually utilizes all five players. They move the ball. They move their bodies. They actually shift around. They actually can shoot it. They can pass it. They can cut. Pretty good stuff from Golden State we're getting. I'm thankful for Lakers coach Byron Scott. Because again, he gives me hope that I was a better basketball coach than at least one guy on this planet. Woo, Byron is not doing well. I'm thankful for March Madness, especially those first, that first weekend. You know, you've got the Thursday and it's just like 9-10 o'clock in the morning all day. And then the Friday all day. And then the Saturday all day and Sunday. And then, even when it jumps forward at like the Sweet 16, because now we've whittled away some of the weaker teams. Now you've gotten now you have some really, really good games. Oh, March Madness is good. March Madness is good stuff. I am thankful for March Madness for sure. Finally, I am genuinely thankful for all of you who listen and share the Daily Dose Sports Podcast. You read the articles, you email, you send me tweets, you send me stuff, you send me texts, whatever it might be. To all of you who are out there right now listening, I say thank you. Let's keep it going. Hey, breaking news. We have a number of things coming out in the world of sports today. First off, some horrifying news coming out of St. Louis, where St. Louis Rams wide receiver Stedman Bailey is in critical but stable condition after being shot in a car on Tuesday night. He was shot twice in the head. Not like shot in the leg, not shot in the arm, shot in the head. And somehow, he's in stable condition. Critical condition, but stable condition. Hopefully Stedman Bailey is going to be okay. Johnny Manziel, it was announced yesterday, got benched. It appears that Johnny Manziel, on his week off, you remember Johnny Manziel had some issues off the field, and he had gone into rehab, and he had had some of these problems, and then he had come back, and the Browns had kind of said, well, we kind of got to figure out what we have with this kid. I mean, can he play or can he not? Because if he can't, then we need to draft someone who can. And so they said, okay, we're going to make you the starter, but you've got to prove to us that you're the guy. You've got to prove to us that you are indeed the person we think you are and that you're possibly able to lead this team. Well, it looks like Johnny went out and was partying, and Johnny was going out and doing some things, and Johnny had somebody apparently filming all this, and the video got back to the Cleveland Browns. And now they have announced Johnny Manziel has been benched once again. How you get fired on your week off, Johnny Manziel? What are you, stealing boxes, trying to build a clubhouse? What on earth is this clown doing? And I have to wonder, because as stupid as Johnny is, and Johnny clearly has some problems between his ears, how horrible are his friends? They're like, hey, let's videotape this idiot and make sure that it gets out there because we want to publicize what he was doing. You're cutting your own guy's throat? Good moves. Good moves around Johnny. He's surrounded by good, smart people. You might have seen the college football poll came out last night. We're going to talk about that a little bit. But the one thing that kind of stood out to me, Oklahoma Sooners have jumped up to number 3. Iowa is sitting at number 4. Going to have to talk about that a little bit. Interesting how that broke down. And lastly, the Golden State Warriors are sitting at 16-0 to start the season. They now own the NBA's best start in history. They beat the Lakers last night 111-77 in a game that, I'm going to be honest, wasn't really that close. You know, there was kind of some talk that maybe, just maybe, the Lakers are going to come out. They're going to compete a little bit. They're going to get after it. They're going to actually push. And Kobe's got one more game. I mean, Kobe, he's been struggling all season, but he's got this one game in him. Like, he's going to get it going at some point, and he might just save it, you know, for this game against the Golden State Warriors and show you, hey, I still have a little bit. Don't count me out quite yet because I still have a little bit left in the tank. Yeah, that didn't happen. Kobe went 1-for-14 and finished with 4 points. He was a minus 20 in the plus minus category. Yeah, I think it's kind of safe. Him and Peyton can probably hang out and, you know, kind of in the same boat. Lakers are not very good, folks. I took some heat a few weeks ago when I said they were worse than the Kings. You'd be hard-pressed to convince me they're not worse than the Kings. Hey, we've got to jump in. We've got a lot of things to get to. NFL. Speaking of people that are hurting and people are no longer the same as they once used to be, the Denver Broncos played their first game since 2012, back, remember when Tim Tebow was starting that playoff game against, the Patriots, I think it was. The first game since 2012, they played without starting quarterback Peyton Manning. Brock Osweiler wasn't necessarily pretty, but he found a way to beat the Chicago Bears 17-15. And Osweiler was at least solid. He was 20 for 27, had 250 yards, had 2 touchdowns. But most important of any of that, he had no turnovers. Do you realize that's the first game this year the Broncos have had 0 turnovers? They've had a turnover in every single game. And it's mostly been all Peyton Manning. The only other turnover they have is Demaryius Thomas stretching for a first down and he fumbled it. That's it. It's been all Peyton Manning. And now it's been announced that Brock Osweiler is going to start again this week against the Patriots at home on Sunday night. Now, what if he continues to look good? Are the Broncos going to bench the Hall of Famer? It feels like that's the direction that things are heading. There are rumors, kind of going out and about that Peyton's upset and Peyton really wants to play and Peyton feels like he's kind of getting pushed out and he's already looking at new. I don't necessarily buy any of that. I think Peyton's kind of focused on trying to get himself physically fit and able to play. But it's going to be interesting to see if Brock continues to play well, even if they lose to the Patriots, even if they drop a game or two, what if he continues to play at least an acceptable level where you say, yeah, but he looks better than Peyton did. You know, the Broncos offense for the first time, because remember when Gary Kubiak got this job back in like January, you heard that and you said, oh, well, they're going to go back to that grounded out, hand it off, play action rollout, all that kind of stuff, that West Coast offense, quick passes, get it out, get the running game going, those kind of things. This is the first time on Sunday was the first time we actually saw that. The Denver Broncos ran 69 plays on Sunday. 52 of them were under center. And they had 36 runs for 170 yards. That is, almost double what they've been averaging this season. Is that a coincidence? I don't think so. I think the formation helps. I think the threat of Osweiler rolling out, going play action, the ability to beat you with his legs, I think that puts a little more pressure on the defense to play honest. And suddenly their running game got going. He still did have the 27 passes. So they ran 36 times compared to 27 passes. That's a complete flip from what it was under Peyton Manning. It makes me wonder if the Denver Broncos are starting to say, hey, maybe it's better if he doesn't come back. we finally found the guy that looks right in this offense. Keep an eye on the Broncos going forward. Tampa Bay. I got to give some credit to Tampa Bay because I, you know, at the beginning of the season, I didn't give Tampa much of a chance at all. They looked like a team to me that were going to be in trouble. Offensive line wasn't very good. Defense was struggling. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are in contention, at least contention, for a playoff spot. Do you realize Tampa Bay is 5-5? They smoked the Eagles on Sunday, 45-17. And Jameis Winston threw 5 touchdowns. I don't know if they can make the playoffs. I have no idea if they can make the playoffs. We'll see how their schedule goes down and how they do down the, you know, the stretch. But you got to give head coach Lovie Smith some big time credit. Lovie Smith has done a phenomenal job with a team that I don't know that they're overly talented, but they're finding ways to win games. And Jameis Winston is a lot better than I thought he would be. Yes, he had some weapons. He had some offensive weapons. We knew that. Running back, wide receivers, he's got a few guys. Didn't have much in the offensive line. He's doing some things. Like what Tampa Bay is doing right now. The Dallas Cowboys are undefeated. They are 3-0 with Tony Romo this year. Now, the bad news, for the Dallas Cowboys, he has missed 7 games, and they went 0-7 without him. So they are 3-7. What is interesting to me, and we talked about this at the beginning of the year, I don't understand why they don't run the football more, but what's interesting to me is that with Romo this past week, they run the ball more than they throw it. I don't understand that. On Sunday versus Miami, they had 38 runs to 28 passes. You know, the two previous weeks with Matt Castle back there, they threw it 67 times and only ran it 50 times. Now you can say, well, it's because they're behind. Yeah, but it's also because there's a certain mindset. And I don't understand it. Jason Garrett, we always hear Jason Garrett, he was Ivy League guys, and Ivy League guys, a really smart guy. Is he? Can we see the diploma? Because I'm starting to wonder. Like, he's super smart. That's what we keep being told. I don't necessarily see any evidence of that. Really, really weird. NFL had a disturbing incident on Sunday in the Rams versus Ravens game. You know, late in the game, Rams quarterback Case Keenum was crushed by Ravens defensive end Timmy Jernigan. He hit his head on the ground. If you didn't see it, he smacks the back of his head on the ground. And you can tell, like, he's noticeably not all right. Like, he's shaken up. He's holding his head. He's dizzy. At one point, he starts to kind of fall down. Now, remember that the NFL has independent neurological specialists that are there watching the game. And the whole reason that they're there is to stop the game if they see those kind of traits in a player. To make sure that that player is protected, to get that player out of the game, to make sure that that player is not going to, you know, suffer further injury. They say that the Rams trainers went out. They started to go out to him. And so then they didn't do anything because they were like, well, the trainers are going out there, so we're not doing anything. And they checked on him. But the Rams trainers checked on him and let him go. He continued to play. He actually finished the game. NFL, you had one job. You had one job to make sure this guy isn't out there killing himself. And you couldn't do that right? And then head coach, Rams head coach Jeff Fisher says, well, I didn't even know he's hurt. Okay, if you didn't know he was hurt, who does know? Like, everybody in the stadium knew. Everybody on the field knew. Trainers knew. Everybody was watching this. Somehow Jeff Fisher, I had no idea. I didn't even know he was hurt. What, was he hurt? I didn't even know. He was falling down. He was holding his head. What are you talking about? You didn't know. Bad spin by Jeff Fisher. You can spin it a few different ways. You can say, well, yeah, but he was fine. Or you can say, don't act like you didn't know. You knew. But really, should we be surprised that NFL refs can't get anything right? They have medical specialists that have one job, to buzz the tower and let people know, hey, that guy is out on his feet. You need to get him out of the game. They can't even do that right. And that's not a difficult job, I'm going to be honest. If my entire job is to sit there and say, hey, do you see anybody, you know, spinning around, falling down? That's it. That's your whole job. They can't even get that right. It's no wonder we're having inadvertent whistles. We're having penalties that don't make any sense. We're unable to realize when, you know, a Bills wide receiver goes out of bounds on his own momentum, takes himself out so the clock will stop. No, keep that clock running. Officiating so bad. NFL is struggling to get many things right right now. I don't know why it's so flawed, but it is. Here's one thing that I keep hearing. I keep hearing how, you know, what the problem is that the NFL officials aren't full-time refs. They're these guys that have, you know, like their banker job or whatever, and then they ref on Sundays. And do you know who is keeping it that way? Do you have any idea who's keeping it that way? It's not the NFL. Like, you might think, well, the NFL doesn't want to pay these guys to be full-time. That's not the case. It's the referees' union. They don't want these guys to be working full-time. Right now, they're basically getting full-time wages to not work full-time. Why on earth would they agree to that? They don't want anything to do with that. You're going to hear that on some of your local sports shows. Well, they need full-time officials. Well, the refs don't want to be full-time officials. They want to keep their banker jobs. I don't know if that helps. Maybe it would help. I don't know. I don't know. Can I tell you who the team is that no one wants to face right now in the NFL? It's not the Patriots. The Patriots are starting to show some flaws, and now they're talking about Danny Amendola might be dinged up a little bit too. The Patriots are starting to lose some people. I know. Bill Belichick just plugs someone else in, and he can get some scrub off the street to go in and be a Super Bowl caliber player. Maybe. It's actually not the Panthers. The Panthers, you know, they grind you out. They find a way to get things done, but it's not the Panthers. You know who no one wants to see right now? The team that is playing better than anyone on both sides of the ball right now? It's the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs started 1-5. They're now 5-5. And you say, well, yeah, but they're still sitting at 500. Yeah. But look at how they're beating people. They beat the Steelers 23-13. They beat the Lions 45-10. They came to Denver, beat the Broncos 29-13. They just beat the Chargers 33-3 last week. Now, are those all great teams or even good teams? No. But the Chiefs are crushing them. And when you look at their remaining schedule, and here's the thing I would stress to you. Look at this remaining schedule that they have. Home against the Bills this week. That'll be a tough game, but home against the Bills this week, they probably win. At Raiders. Chargers at home. At Ravens. Browns at home. Raiders at home. Are there any losses there? The Chiefs might go 11-5. They might close with 9-10 straight wins. It's amazing. I mean, worst case, what are they going to do? Go 10-6? And they're winning with a really aggressive physical defense. They're winning with a running game. Yes, Alex Smith is back there with his baby hands. But you know what? That offense is really efficient. They don't turn it over. They don't make big mistakes. And when you have a defense as good as that one is, you can get away with running an offense like that. Yes, it's Andy Reid. So they're going to allow a huge comeback in the playoffs and mismanage the clock horribly. And they'll probably get knocked out in like the wild card round. But still, right now, you don't want to see the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's take a look at, I'm not going to go through the full NFL schedule this week. I just want to look at the Thanksgiving games. Just the Thanksgiving games. The games that are coming up tomorrow. Because we talked about earlier, the whole day tomorrow is about eating and watching football. Who cares about any of the rest of it? That's your whole day. Yes, you're going to spend time with your family and all that stuff. And yes, be thankful for some things. I gave you some ideas. Let's talk about the games, though, that are coming up on Thanksgiving. First game, early morning game. 4-6 Eagles at 3-7 Lions. Really? That's the game I have to wake up to? As you are putting that turkey in the oven, you'll get to enjoy this dreadful game between two turkey teams. Sam Bradford is expected to play for the Eagles. Did you see how I said that? Like it mattered if Sam Bradford played. It makes no difference whatsoever if Sam Bradford plays. He's horrible. Mark Sanchez is horrible. The Eagles offense is horrible. I mean, it sounded like it really mattered. Hey, you're going to hear that a lot. Sam Bradford is expected to play. Who cares? No one cares. Both these teams are underachieving and awful. I would imagine the Lions are probably going to win this because they're playing at home. And to be fair, the Lions do have a ton of talent. The problem is that head coach Jim Caldwell is really, really good at hiding his talent really, really well. Like, you'd watch that team and you're like, oh, they don't look that talented. No, they are. Jim Caldwell just somehow managed to suck all the talent out of the team. I'll take the Lions at home in probably a snooze fest, horrible game. The second game of the day, the 10-0 Panthers go to the 3-7 Cowboys. We talked about it just a minute ago. Tony Romo is back. And Dallas is undefeated with him playing. okay, it was just three games, and it was versus the Giants, the Eagles, and the Dolphins. Yeah, him being undefeated doesn't sound nearly as impressive now, does it? I know that the Cowboys are kind of a trendy pick right now to maybe pull off the upset and beat the Panthers. I like that Carolina defense too much. I think Carolina will take away that running game from the Cowboys. I think they'll put pressure on Romo. I'll take the Panthers. I'll take the Panthers in that game. It should be at least an entertaining game, though. With it being in Dallas, I at least give Dallas a chance at that. Should be a fun game, at least for our second game. Our final game, when you look at it on paper, it doesn't sound that good, but the 4-6 Bears go to the 7-3 Green Bay Packers. The good news is the Bears are playing better. We've seen them over the last few weeks. John Fox, say whatever you want about it. He's conservative. He sometimes just has some plays in a game where you're just like, what in the world was he thinking there? We saw this last week against the Broncos. They drive down. It's early in the fourth quarter. They're inside the five. He decides to go for it on fourth down instead of taking a field goal. You're just scratching your head wondering what in the world John Fox is thinking, but the Bears are starting to play a little bit better, and the Packers are playing quite a bit worse. So maybe in the last game on Thanksgiving night, as you're holding your stomach and loosening the belt on your pants and digesting every single thing you've eaten, maybe you see a halfway decent competitive game late as Bears go to Packers. I'm going to put on my little Swami hat here and try to look into the future. And I'm going to say that late in the game, with a chance to win it, Jay Cutler commits a turnover at a crucial time, and the Packers win instead. I know, I'm going out on a really, really long limb out there, taking a big chance. But that'll be my prediction. I will take the Packers to hold on at home. Let's shift over to college football. Talk a little bit of college football before we get over to our NCAA hoops preview. The new poll did come out. Not a lot of huge surprises. Number one, Clemson. Number two was Alabama. Number three, Oklahoma jumped up. Oklahoma beat... Yes, Oklahoma has a decent kind of track record that they've had going this year. They've got some good wins. How did Oklahoma going to Tennessee become this great notch in the belt? I can't figure that out. Everybody's like, well, they do have the win at Tennessee. So? Like, that's something impressive. Yes, you went on the road and you played an SEC team. Nice job. Tennessee's not very good. Yes, you came back late in that game. Tennessee's not very good. But yes, Oklahoma catapults into number three after beating a, crippled TCU team. And then number four, Iowa. And I know everyone's pushing for Iowa. Look, Iowa's undefeated. Iowa's got this. The next win that is meaningful to Iowa will be the first. Like, they haven't beaten anybody. And everybody's like, well, look what they did to Purdue. Okay, Purdue's worse than Tennessee. So let's not bring that up. Number five in the poll this week, Michigan State. Michigan State, yes, they kind of lucked into that game with Michigan, but they found a way to knock off Ohio State. And then number six, Notre Dame drops two spots after playing and looking pretty average against Boston College. Couple of interesting games coming up this weekend we're going to talk about. One story we have to touch on in college football. Number three, Ohio State, got upset by number nine, Michigan State, at home on Saturday. Tough game, rainy game. If there's one flaw that Michigan State has had this season, it's been their secondary. And because of the rain and because of the weather, Ohio State was really unable to throw the ball much. They weren't able to take advantage of that and really attack the Michigan State secondary. Michigan State holds on. It's an ugly, defensive, grinded out kind of game, and they get the win. But then, after the game, Ohio State running back Ezekiel Elliott gets loose, like more than he did in the game, after saying he's done at Ohio State. He is no longer going to be playing for Ohio State. He's finishing out the season, then he's jumping to the NFL. And called out his coaching staff because he wasn't used enough in the game. Here's the thing. He's right. He got 12 carries. He's the best player on the field. Yes, I'm sitting there the whole game watching it like, why aren't you feeding him? Why aren't you feeding him? Stop running it with your dumb quarterbacks. Give it to this guy. I know he was sick earlier in the week. I don't care. I want to at least find out, can Ezekiel Elliott take over this game and get us a win and get us one step closer to getting into that playoff again? They don't give him the ball. And they have a kind of a younger coaching staff. Some of the younger coaches are calling the plays for them. It was really bizarre that they didn't give him the ball. He's absolutely right. They should have been feeding him the ball. He's the best player on the field. But you can't blow up your coaches like that. I promise you. I'm telling you right now. It is November 25th. I'm calling it right now. Next spring, when it is time for the NFL draft, you are going to hear about how, well, Ezekiel Elliott is a very, very talented player. He looks like he's the kind of guy that could be a good running back for an NFL team. He should be maybe, you know, a first-round draft pick. But remember when he blew up his coaches? Well, coaches in the NFL are really concerned about his attitude. They're really concerned that he might have the kind of me-first, you know, attitude that teams just aren't interested in. Here's the thing. You cost yourself some money just for saying that. You sit there and say, well, big deal, so I get drafted in the second round or third round. You cost yourself millions of dollars. Goodness. You don't spend money you don't have yet, Ezekiel Elliott. Zeke, you got to hold on to that money. Now, don't forget, for college football, yes, Thanksgiving tomorrow will be the day of NFL football. A lot of good NFL games. Check the three games out on NFL. But for college football, there's some really, really good games on Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. And don't you dare say, well, it's Black Friday, I'll be out shopping. Stupid as that Black Friday shopping thing, it just makes me want to vomit. The deals aren't even good. Stop going out and acting like, well, I'm getting a TV for 25 cents. No, you're not. You're not getting anything better than you. And you could do it at home online. Don't you dare go out and do that Black Friday shopping thing. Stupid. Anyways, don't forget, good college football games coming up on Friday. Number 16 Navy goes to number 19 Houston. You know, he probably isn't going to be, but Navy quarterback Keenan Reynolds should be invited to the Heisman, ceremony. The job that he has done, the stats that he's put up and playing for a service academy, pretty amazing. Navy at Houston, I guess I would probably take Houston in that game, but that should be a very, very entertaining game. Number 5, Iowa. Undefeated, untested, unplayed anyone. Iowa goes to Nebraska. I know, it's Nebraska. They're not very good. But, and Iowa honestly should roll in this game. But you know that stadium's going to be pretty loud in Lincoln. I mean, you know Husker fans have been like sipping on corn moonshine for like 36 straight hours. They're going to be a little bit belligerent and loud. Maybe Nebraska comes out and plays them tough. Number 10, Baylor goes to number 18, TCU in the, I guess neither one of us is going to the playoffs bowl. Some really, really good college football. But here's the thing. This weekend on Saturday, we have some really good games. Make no plans for Saturday. Like, don't make the plans for Friday and go out, you know, doing the shopping thing. Don't do that. But on Saturday, you've got even better games coming because there are a ton of rivalry games coming on Saturday. Florida State goes to Florida. That does have playoff implications. Ohio State goes to Michigan. If either one of those teams are to have a shot and hope people ahead of them are still going to lose, big, big game there. UCLA goes to Southern Cal. Southern Cal, you know, they are a talented team. They at least, you know, that rivalry, they would love to knock off UCLA. Kind of an odd one, but North Carolina goes to North Carolina State. North Carolina has an outside chance of slipping into the playoff situation as well. Alabama goes to Auburn. I know Auburn's horrible, but that is a big rivalry game. Ole Miss goes to Mississippi State in the Egg Bowl. Should be an interesting game there. Notre Dame goes to Stanford, and they need to beat Stanford if they are going to have any shot at playing their way into that playoff. I'll say this right now. Notre Dame, you might want to watch that Christian McCaffrey kid. He looks like the type of kid that could give that Notre Dame defense a little bit of a problem. And lastly, Oklahoma goes to Oklahoma State. OU sitting at 3 right now. If they get a win at Okie State on Saturday, they have pretty much probably played their way in, despite the fact they won't have a championship game. They'll probably get in based on that. Oklahoma State coming off the loss to Baylor. Got possibly a playoff berth on the line right there when those two get together. Should be a very, very interesting weekend of college football. Make sure that you tune in. You're going to see some really, really good games. Let's jump over. We've got to get to our college basketball preview. I know. You don't care. You don't care about college hoops. And I understand it. We don't care until we have to fill out our bracket. It's okay. But I want you to at least be a little more prepared than the average guy in your office pool. Do at least know some of the teams, maybe some of the players, maybe some of the storylines coming out in college hoops that you just might not be aware of. A couple of storylines that I want you to keep in mind with college hoops this year. Couple of importance to keep in mind. First off, there's a number of rule changes that you might not be aware of. You know, one of the biggest stories this year is that college basketball finally stopped living in like the 70s and kind of updated some of their rules. Granted, they've just updated them to be like in the 90s, but still, it's better than what it was. A couple of rule changes I want you to keep in mind this year. The shot clock is now 30 seconds, down from 35 seconds. Not a huge, huge change. I wish they would have lowered it to 28 and got these kids a little more ready for the NBA. But it does limit some of that overcoaching that you would see in college basketball games. You would have a team come out with 35 seconds. You come out and you run your fast break, nothing. You run your secondary break, which is usually just a couple of, kind of a quick hitter set play to get something. And if you don't get that, you would see a team run a set, get nothing. Coach comes over, they call another play, run another set, get nothing, and then maybe run like a quick hitter for a shot. You eliminate some of this stuff with a 30-second. I know 5 seconds doesn't seem like a big difference. It is. Because if there's any sort of even token backcourt pressure, you're getting into the front court with about 23, 24 seconds left. Now I'm right into a set and get a shot up. Now the one thing that does concern me a little bit about this is, are we going to see more of, because we already see it, are we going to start seeing more guys taking bad shots quickly? I worry about that a little bit. I guess that part will be up to the coaches to see. Watching how this shot clock change, it's going to change some things. It's going to give, sometimes it's going to give some underdogs a little bit more of a chance because you have to shoot it a little bit quicker. One thing that they've tried to do to speed up the game a little bit is that this year in college basketball, you can only carry 3 timeouts to the second half. And so when we get down to the end, and you know how in the NBA it comes down and you're like, yeah, the last minute lasts longer than the whole rest of the game combined. They've kind of gotten rid of some of that. You're only allowed to carry 3 timeouts into the second half. And here's the other part of the rule that I really do like. If it's called within 30 seconds of the TV timeout, then they just roll it into the same timeout. Now, if you don't know what the TV timeout is and you don't quite understand that, there are certain points in a game, 16, 12, 8, and 4, because they're 20-minute halves in college basketball, where they have a TV timeout. And the first stoppage of play, you have a TV timeout. Now, when I was coaching, I know that even at the high school level, they would come over if we were going to be on TV and they would say, okay, you have a TV timeout at 6, at 4, and at 2, or whatever it was. And so the first dead ball after that mark, the first dead ball, they were going to go to a TV timeout, whether you needed it or not. Sometimes it's like 5 minutes of sitting around staring at each other because you just don't have that much to say. They're going to roll that into one timeout if it's within 30 seconds. I think that's a good move. I think that keeps the game flowing and doesn't make it so choppy. There's nothing worse than when a team takes a timeout with like 8:05 left in the half. And they say, okay, timeout. And then they inbound it and they turn it over and they say, okay, and now we're going to, you just came back. Now we're going to a TV timeout. I was just starting to watch. I think it's a good move that they did move that. College basketball got rid of the 5 second closely guarded rule this year. That has been eliminated. If a player was within, they said within 6 feet, within arm's length, defending the ball handler, he had 5 seconds to either create space and get away from that defender, or he had to pass or move the ball. What it eliminated was it kept guys from just being able to dribble the ball out, just dribble, dribble, dribble all over the place. This is probably should be called the Mark Macon rule. I don't know if you remember Shaken Bacon Mark Macon when he was at Temple. Big, strong kid that could just sit there and honestly, he could dribble the whole clock out. He was just a strong kid, had a good ball handle, was able to just dribble and dribble and dribble, and no one could get away from him. They actually eliminated that. I worry a little bit about that. I worry that you're going to see some big, strong guard that's able to just, hey, I can just dribble this thing out. There's 30 seconds left. That's all I need. I can do that fine. Whereas the 5 second rule would keep a kid that was closely guarded. He would have to move the ball. He would have to get rid of it. See how that affects it. The last move I want to talk about that the NCAA Rules Committee got rid of. The restricted area, that circle in the paint, it was 3 feet out from the basket. It is now 4 feet out from the basket. Trying to eliminate that kid that slides in and takes that charge right at the last second directly under the basket. They're trying to get rid of that. So they expanded that circle just a little bit. You've got to be out in front of the hoop to get that call. That's what they're trying to accomplish there. We'll see if you get better. Some of the charges that get called in college, and yes, I'm looking right at you, Duke, when they run in and try to slide under a guy that's just completed a layup. Got to get rid of those. Really, really dangerous situation to begin with. And it's not basketball. It's poor basketball. So I think they're trying to do their best to eliminate that. You know, in college basketball, it's not so much about the players. Like, you probably couldn't name, unless you're just a hoops junkie, you probably couldn't name 10 or 15 players. You might not be able to name five this year, but you know all the coaches, because the coaches are where it's at. Like, you know the coach, Krzyzewski and Izzo and Roy Williams and Bill Self and all these guys. We know these guys. There's been a number of coaching changes that you might not be aware of. There's a number of coaches that have shifted around and have moved around. I want to talk about a couple of those real quick. You might remember Ben Howland. When he was at UCLA, he was out at Pitt, always brought physical, tough defenses to whatever team he is coaching. Ben Howland is now at Mississippi State, down in the SEC. The SEC has gone out and gotten a few big name coaches. Mississippi State is sitting at 2-3 right now, but you know, eventually his system will get in. He'll get the kind of players that he wants. I can't say that they'll be a great team winning wise. They'll be tough. They'll be physical and they'll play good defense. Shaka Smart, you might remember, finally left VCU last year and has gone over to Texas. The great thing for Shaka is he should be able to recruit like crazy down at Texas. They're 1-1 so far, but it'll be interesting to see how Shaka does on a bigger stage with much, much bigger backing down at the University of Texas. You might remember last season, Bobby Hurley, he took that Buffalo team to the NCAA tournament. It was a tough team. It was an efficient team. It was a team that took care of the basketball and played good defense. He actually left Buffalo and is now at Arizona State. And so far, Arizona State is looking at least pretty solid. It'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. But Bobby Hurley's got them playing a little bit better. They've started off the season 3-1, and people down in Arizona are getting at least a little bit excited about the job that Bobby Hurley has done down there. Mike White was the coach down at Louisiana Tech. You might remember last year, Louisiana Tech won that conference, played their way into the NCAA tournament. When Billy Donovan left the University of Florida, Mike White took over there at Florida. Be interesting to see, because we know the job and the legacy that Billy Donovan had created there at Florida. Won two championships, played for three, and had I believe, four or five Final Four appearances while he was at Florida. Mike White takes over a situation down at Florida where, no, basketball is not king. Football clearly is king, but you have a number of, you know, recruiting base and talent that is around that area. Mike White should be able to keep that thing going and keep Florida, at least competitive and one of the teams that at least competes with Kentucky every year in the SEC. Florida has started off 3-1 this year. We'll see if Mike White can keep it going. Rick Barnes, talked a little bit about him, about Texas earlier. Rick Barnes actually left Texas, kind of had started to stagnate for him down at Texas. He now takes over at the University of Tennessee, where expectations will not be nearly as high as they were at Texas. We know how people in Texas think. I mean, everything is us. We have no idea there's another state out there. It'll be a little bit different for him at Tennessee. Expectations won't be quite so high. And he can recruit in the SEC. He can recruit Tennessee kids. A lot of talent back there. Rick Barnes now at Tennessee. They also have started off pretty well, going 4-1. There's two more. Avery Johnson. Avery Johnson, you might remember, point guard down, kind of bounced around the NBA. He was with Dallas. He was with San Antonio for a while. He was even in Denver for a little while. Avery Johnson takes over at Alabama for Anthony Grant. Avery Johnson, really, really well-spoken guy, really, really kind of an entertaining guy just to listen to his voice, if nothing else. Avery Johnson takes over at Alabama, hoping to get their basketball program on track a little bit. Last one I want to talk about. A little bit of a risky move, but St. John's hired Chris Mullen. back to his alma mater. Chris Mullen, honestly, is probably the best player who ever played for St. John's. But I don't know. This kind of makes me wonder if it's a little bit of a desperate move. He's never coached. He doesn't have any coaching experience. And, you know, St. John's has had some really good coaches. But they just can't get winning consistently. I don't know if it's they can't get players to stay up there. I don't know what it is. But Mullen has never coached. They're 3-2 so far. It'll be interesting to see how Mullen does out at St. John's. Some of the best teams this year in college hoops, it's kind of the usual suspects. I mean, but the difference this year in college basketball is there aren't those clear-cut favorites. It's not like you have that Kentucky team from last year where you're like, well, it's them and then it's everyone else. Already this year, we have seen some big upsets. Number 6 Virginia lost to George Washington like last week. Tulsa beat number 9 Wichita State. Northern Iowa beat at the time number 1 North Carolina. This should be a wide open year where there's probably 10 to 12 teams that legitimately could win the whole thing. If I was picking my Final Four, and I'll even add in one just outside the Final Four, my Final Four, I would probably go with, and I know this will be different from maybe some other people's, you know how we do. I'm not going to go along with what everyone else is going to say. I'm going to go off my own eyes. If I was picking my Final Four, I would go with probably Michigan State as my top seed. I think Michigan State is a team that is very, very capable of winning the entire thing. I love the toughness that they have. You know what Tom Izzo is going to do in the tournament. They're going to have toughness. They're going to have rebounding. They'll have a team chemistry that's a little bit different than everyone else's. And Denzel Valentine can absolutely do everything. Had a triple-double just recently. He can shoot it. He can drive inside. He's tough. He can defend. Love what Denzel Valentine brings to Michigan State. My number 2 seed, I would probably put as Kansas. Bill Self is loaded. I mean, I know it seems like every year Kansas just gets richer and richer with the talent that they get. The Jayhawks have speed. They have length. They have depth. They have just pretty much anything that you would want. Perry Ellis, he can hurt you in so many ways. He obviously can go down in the post. He can post up. He can hurt you down in the post. He can step out to mid-range. He can even step outside a little bit. Perry Ellis is a pretty good player. My number 3 seed, I would put North Carolina. Do you realize that North Carolina returned 9 of 10 of their top scorers from last year, including Marcus Page, who is an extremely talented point guard? He was hurt for most of last year. Carolina, talented, and again, very, very deep. It'll take Carolina a little bit of time because they just haven't played together enough. Young team, some injuries from a year ago. Once this group kind of gets some continuity and gets playing together, you know that Roy Williams will have them probably playing at a very, very high level. My number 4 pick in my Final Four would probably be Maryland. Head coach Mark Turgeon, he's had some really, really good recruiting classes, and he's also had some really, really good transfers. If you want to see one of the best point guards in the country, take a look at Mello Trimble, who might be the best point guard in the country. Maryland has a little bit of everything. They are loaded. My number 5 pick, no, it's not going to be the big name. I could go with Duke. I don't like their point guard situation. I could go with Kentucky. I think that they're still a little bit young. I'll go with Wichita State. Do you realize that Ron Baker and Fred VanVleet are back for, like, I don't know, their 7th season? I mean, it's insane. And, you know, the Shockers win with rebounding. They win with defense. They lost a couple guys, but they brought in 6'8 transfer Anson Grady, who should help fill that role. Wichita State, Greg Marshall has done a phenomenal job with that program. I expect them to be right in the thick of it again. I'm going to give you a couple under-the-radar teams to watch, though, because we know who the big dogs are typically. You can go grab your newspaper or look online and say, okay, who's the top-ranked teams? I'm going to give you a couple teams I want you to watch. A couple of teams that I don't think anyone's really talking about them, but they're going to be. First team we want to talk about is Miami. And you know I don't really like Miami. Miami, at least in football, Miami's pretty good. Head coach Jim Larrañaga returns almost everyone from a team that last year went 25-13. And I'm telling you, another point guard that you might want to watch, Angel Rodriguez down there at Miami, this is a clutch kid. And you look at him and you're like, is he a player? He looks like a ball boy. Little chubby kid. He doesn't look like a player. He is clutch. Unafraid, absolutely fearless the way this kid plays. He will take that fadeaway three-pointer with the game on the line, and he will bury it. Keep an eye on the Miami Hurricanes in hoops. Another team I'd like to talk about a little bit under the radar. You hear about them in the tournament, but you don't hear about them other than that, really. The Dayton Flyers. Dayton went 27-9 last year. They might actually be better this year. And you know, with Dayton, you're going to get that toughness. It's a scrappy team. They're going to get on the floor. They're going to be physical. They're going to bang you around. They have really, really good guard play. Dayton Flyers are a team I like a lot. Vanderbilt. I know it's Vanderbilt, and when you think of athleticism, that's not exactly what comes to mind. Vanderbilt is pretty good. They've got 7-foot Damian Jones, and this kid can dominate on both ends of the floor. Kevin Stallings is an excellent coach. I think he's a very, very underrated coach. Vanderbilt is a team that could make some noise. They could be a pain to knock out this year in the tournament. And I'm going to give you one last team to keep in mind. I know this is going to sound crazy. Texas A&M. Is going to be in the dance. And Texas A&M could make a little bit of noise. They've got Tyler Davis and Daniel House. They're going to be a very, very tough combo. Keep an eye on Texas A&M this year. As we do every single week, we have got to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. You know, you might be listening to the college basketball preview and saying, yeah, thanks, but I'll wait till March Madness. Because I don't know who to watch. I don't know any of these players. I don't know any of these teams. But you know what? I'm going to give you a couple players to watch. And obviously, you can go out and say, hey, LSU, if you haven't seen LSU, Ben Simmons, the freshman coming out, he's an Australian kid that came to the States. Ben Simmons probably, I'm not going to say he's the best player in the country. I won't say that just yet. Not there. But he's already drawing comparisons to LeBron James. I don't look at him as a LeBron James type. And this is going to sound bad when I say this. When you hear this, you're going to say, well, wait, that doesn't sound very good. He reminds me more of like a Lamar Odom type. No, not the passed out in the brothel. The Lamar Odom that we remember back at Rhode Island and when he was playing well, for such a big kid to have the handle, the shooting ability, the ability to play on the perimeter that he does at his size. He's like 6'10". Ben Simmons is a fun kid to watch. I would say you want to make, if you see LSU on, at least take a look at Ben Simmons. Be worth your time. And one other kid I'll give you, Providence guard Chris Dunn. Chris Dunn is a phenomenal, phenomenal player. Tough, can shoot it, can drive, can do just a little bit of everything. Chris Dunn, those are two guys I would say if you're just flipping through the channels and you're not sure who to watch, LSU, Providence, take a look at those. But I'm going to give you a couple players that you might actually recognize. You just don't know it. You just don't realize that you know these guys. Let's count down the Daily Dose top five players in college basketball this year that you might not know that you know. Number five, if you see the Michigan Wolverines on this year, I want you to keep an eye on number 24. No, he's not putting up huge numbers yet. He's pretty young. 9 points a game, 5 rebounds a game. But if Aubrey Dawkins looks a little bit familiar, it's because he's the son of former Dukie and Stanford head coach Johnny Dawkins. He looks just like his dad. He looks a lot like him. But that's Aubrey Dawkins, the son of Johnny Dawkins. Let me give you just a quick Johnny Dawkins story. Back in the 80s, Navy gets to the tournament with David Robinson. They actually played their way in. And they had to play Duke in either the first or second round. And you know, the Navy boys are there and they're fired up. And you know how the Duke fans are. The Duke fans are obviously, loud. They're going to be clever with their chants. They're going to have a few things. And one of the first plays of the game, like one of the very first plays of the game, the ball gets tipped out. Johnny Dawkins grabs it, goes up, and just throws one down. I'm not going to say it was on David Robinson, but it was in the vicinity of David Robinson. He drops one on David Robinson. Johnny Dawkins was a heck of a player. Dude could jump out of the gym. He was a pretty incredible athlete at the time. But I'll never forget, the Duke fans were giving it to the Navy boys, chanting, "Abandon ship." Good stuff. Good stuff. Johnny Dawkins was a great player. You can check out his son now playing for Michigan. Number four on our players that you might know that you didn't know. University of Connecticut. UConn has a player that you might actually know. He's just a sophomore. No, he doesn't have his dad's alien head, but keep an eye out for Sam Cassell Jr. He's playing for UConn right now. Number three on our players that you might not realize you know, Gonzaga is solid again. And the job that Mark Few has done up there is really pretty impressive. Every single year, used to be they were kind of, oh yeah, they're a mid-major. Gonzaga doesn't look like a mid-major. They look every bit major. They might play in a smaller conference, but Gonzaga every year is competitive. You probably know their leading scorer, Domantas Sabonis. At least you know his dad, Arvydas Sabonis, the Lithuanian great player who played for Portland for 5 or 6 years. That is Arvydas' son, Domantas Sabonis. He's their leading scorer this year for Gonzaga. Really, really good player. Fun player to keep an eye on. Check him out. Number two on our list of players that you might not realize that you know, Virginia. Virginia should be a contender. They're a top 10 team. They're already 4-1. Keep an eye on number 21. He might look just a little bit familiar to you. Isaiah Wilkins is the stepson of NBA great Dominique Wilkins. No, he's not as good as his stepdad, but keep an eye on Isaiah Wilkins. Might be another guy that you might recognize a little bit. Number one on our list of players you didn't realize you knew. Hey, Oregon State has a very, very good team. And one of the best players in the country is playing for Oregon State. 17 points a game, 7 rebounds a game, 6 assists per game. Some people are actually calling him the Mitten. You remember his dad, the Glove. Gary Payton Jr. is a kid that you definitely want to keep an eye on at Oregon State. Hey, next week on the show, going to talk a little bit more college football. Conference championships will be coming up. Got to keep an eye on those. The NFL playoff picture is starting to reveal itself a little bit. We'll go through that and take a look at some of the teams that are contending for playoff spots. Got to talk some NBA. Got to talk a little bit of college hoops, as usual. Hey, if you get a chance, head over to iTunes, give us a 5-star rating, and give us a review. We would appreciate that so, so, so much. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do this show without you. Have to say thank you to all of you for listening each and every week. I genuinely am thankful for you. I hope that you all have a great Thanksgiving tomorrow. I will see you all next week.